This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This video is brought to you by a product I use weekly, Harry's. Okie dokie.
We didn't really hop around much, did we, this episode, huh? We just stayed.
We didn't do any Maximus.
Yeah. I kind of like that. It was nice to be a little focused.
I didn't actually think about him at all during this episode.
Can't say I did either.
It was mainly Vault and... The what's it called? Super what market?
Super Duper Mart.
That was it. Okay, Super Duper Mart. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I mean, just watching Lucy's transformation
in real time.
Yeah, so she's like physically transforming throughout this journey, and watching her being broken down by the ghoul, and then ended up in positions where it's unintentionally like emblematic of what the ghoul did. And then having to make a choice at the very end to show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It's fun translating like the video game equivalent of having these things done to you and needing to make those respective choices and then deciding whether or not you're going to let that like affect your like moral righteousness.
Yeah.
And I feel like they've done such a great job at like making Lucy a believable character like throughout that entire experience. I thought the Super Duper Mart arc was just, it was perfect. Like they got into like the slave trade and the organ harvesting trade is like historically speaking, like,
can you hear your mic move? What is that noise? It's like a jiggling or something.
Am I a jiggling?
It's like, I don't get it. I hear it on yours, but I don't hear it on mine.
I get excited. I'm not a crook. Do I just bobble? Am I a Fallout bobblehead? God, I had a really profound thought, Greg.
I had to interrupt it.
Yeah, I know. You're really good at that.
I just kept hearing it.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Mart.
Yeah, it was a... Like throughout the Fallout games, you have these like really horrific scenes that you come upon that are particularly devastating around like that cover like slavery. Like, I mean, there are like scenes, for example, where you find characters that have these collars that have literal bombs attached to them so that if they like leave the perimeter, their heads will explode.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah, not necessarily like the most like, I mean, it gets really dark. And I was a little concerned that they were going to shy away from some of that stuff because, you know, obviously TV, you know, it's hard to capture a lot of that in a way that is, you know, comfortable for an audience. And I feel like they did a really nice job of that. And I thought this episode, I mean, God, it feels like two episodes ago that we saw the first other ghoul, but that was this episode.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such an introduction to show what can happen And then to then see the final stage of a ghoul and the way that they've held on to that, I thought was so brilliant. And how Lucy took that and was able to show mercy was beautiful. What are you feeling about the vault?
What am I feeling about the vault?
Yeah, I'm so, as like somebody that doesn't, like, I've got an idea of where we're going. I'm so curious what you think is going on.
I mean, I think the stuff that, our vault is 33, right?
Yeah.
Where our main character is from.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stuff going on directly at 33 is not super compelling comparatively to everything else that's going on.
Sure.
But when they went to 32 and started unpacking that mystery with all the dread and death and the, and one thing the show's really good at doing is letting visuals dictate feelings of history without having to like fully lay it out, you know, leave a lot to the imagination and feeling. And I love that. I love the way the show does that. So seeing the atrocities at Vault 32 did really pique the interest because you start to worry about how can this bleed over and affect Vault 33. Because I enjoy the characters at Vault 32. I'm not as, dislike is not the right word. Everyone else I'm kind of rooting for in some way. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like Lucy, easy one to root for.
Yeah.
Even the ghoul to a certain extent. You're just like,
I find him incredibly compelling.
He's insanely compelling,
yeah.
You know, and because you, he's fun to watch be ruthless, but they do a good job at hooking you into who he was before. So you're like,
that
guy still has to be in there somewhere, you know? And, and of course Maximus, you know, again, underdog, easy to root for.
Yeah.
Whereas in Vault 33, it's like, it's interesting stuff that's watching happen, but it's, I guess like when you're hopping between storylines, we're like, these are characters I root for and I don't really root for anyone there.
Yeah.
It just by comparison, it just slides down the scale of, I'm not as interested, but when they opened up Vault 32 and started going down there, I was like, okay, this is getting really interesting. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Man in the High Castle?
I did not.
Okay. There was a, like, the main character's best friend reminds me so much of the younger brother,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, I want to really care, but I just
not quite there.
I just don't.
Yeah.
But the reality is the mystery of 32 definitively connects to all of these narratives are colliding. And it's like, it's so fun how they've taken the same formula that makes every Fallout game great and have managed to just like seamlessly apply it to screen. Because it always starts in a vault with a vault dweller who goes out and there's a parent that goes missing and it's a whole, you know, and you end up, I love the formula and I love how, even though I have no control over the situation as I would in the game, I still feel like I've been playing along this journey. Like, as I've observed things, I'm like, oh, I want to go that way. And Lucy's taken us on that journey. And I think that's like, it's fun.
I love the horror of this episode a lot.
And again, it's the coolest part about the show is that every episode you can get 2 to 3 different genres. And it does all of them flawlessly.
Yeah.
Like, it's got some great horror, and there's also some freaking great dark comedy. Mr. Handy and the way those lines were delivered was just so freaking funny.
Thrilled to be partnering with a brand I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and that's Harry's Razors. I'm generally more drawn to anything that goes against the norm, and Harry's does just that in the grooming world. They saw the high prices in the industry and decided to blaze their own trail with quality and affordability. I keep a beard, but whenever you see these cheeks and the neck clean, then that's the work of Harry's right there. Keeps my wife happy, and Harry's makes it effortless. They're precision blades that cut smoothly with less drag, making every shave satisfying. And yes, it's versatile for other areas too, you know what I mean? So as a Harry's devotee, I can vouch for their value. You can experience unparalleled comfort and quality in your grooming routine where exceptional craftsmanship meets affordability, making a smart choice for a top-notch shave without breaking the bank. Their kits and value packs for shaving are unbeatable, but Harry's is not just about shaving. Again, they offer top quality, thoughtfully designed grooming products, including shampoo, conditioner, and amazing body wash without the premium price. Quality, affordability, that's a thesis of this. Now these I actually pulled right from my own bathroom. I regularly actually use their five-blade razor with a nice weighted handle and their foaming shave gel. Man, this dab, oh, it is a game changer. I just like the feel of it. Now I have to commit to keeping this in my hand the whole time because I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of shooting this. The handles, they feel perfectly balanced. And the razor's sleek design is a classy addition to my bathroom. And the quality of the shave, unparalleled. Gotta reiterate, key part of my weekly grooming ritual because their entire range of products fits seamlessly into my routine. Stefan, no reshoots here. Their German engineer blades are durable and refill plans are economical. Rarely use the word economical, but I'm using it now. Plus, their commitment to high customer satisfaction and no risk trial makes Harry's a no-brainer. This gel really does feel good. Let me say once more, choosing Harry's means quality and affordability. By grabbing your $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rejects, you're not only getting a great deal, but you're also supporting this channel. That's harrys.com/rejects for your $3 trial set. Stay sharp and embrace the extraordinary with Harry's. Till next time, Reject Nation. Till next time.
I just love the... I love how just with the ghoul and Lucy, it's essentially a battle of philosophy about life. And like, what is the word I'm looking for? It's not jaded is not the right word of, but basically how they have a definition of what life is. And they're trying to show, like this episode was really showing that life isn't what they thought it is or ought to be. What is that word I'm looking for? God damn, I can't pull it.
Well, there is a juxtaposition between them.
But I think like that's what the ghoul's been trying to pull out of her, you know, to show like,
well,
this
she's, eye. Yeah, she, there is a, I know exactly what you're trying to say here. There's
that. What is that word? There's a vocab. It was one word that sums that up, and I just can't find it right now.
He doesn't want anyone to think that there can be anything but what he has experienced, which is like pretty emblematic of like how we're living in the world today, you know, like, and I think what's beautiful about Lucy is, for better or for worse, even if she has to confront the realities of the wasteland, she refuses to lose the best elements of who she is. And I think that's what makes her such a compelling character, is that even though like, yeah, the Vault 33, like bring back the American way, it's never going to happen, but there is a better way. And it just involves like just trying to be a good person, even if it's not ideal, even if you don't get to be the best or it's not ideal and you can't, you know. And I think that's the, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's the same thing for, you know, for the Brotherhood. Like it's, you're never going to be this ideal knight. Like there's always going to be. I love the themes that we're playing with here. It's just so fun and interesting. But what did you all think? Leave your comments below. And why don't you join us for the next episode? We're going to watch it right now. And hit that notification bell to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget to check that Geiger counter to make sure your radiation levels are where they should be. And if they're looking bad, try Radaway. Radaway. For when you drink that dirty, dirty water. Radaway.
Radaway.
Say.
Guido Galindo. All right. You know what I think of? I think of a breadstick shop.
When I think of your name. Sure, yeah.
I think of like an Italian, not a restaurant, but like a store, like an import store.
Yeah, okay.
Like wines, breadsticks, pizza, you know, like American Italian food.
Like that Pinocchio deli.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. It was like the Pinocchios in Burbank.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of spot. Where it looks, it's like very pandering Italian, but not real Italian.
Yeah.
But you walk in and you're like, I like a slice of salami. You know, that's the kind of store that I imagine you would own is some type of delicate scenes of it. Yeah,
touristy. You know,
super
chintzy,
white neighborhood.
Yeah, super gentrified Italian store.
Yeah. With like Geppetto outside
definitely
in the front,
doing
you know, like
a
painted
little
on there.
Show, yeah,
I could totally see that. Can't you
Just hire an old Italian lady to sit in the shop and pretend like that's all the credit.
Galindo's, right?
Galindo's,
you can see that. Yeah. You sell cannolis.
Yeah. You can have fresh breadsticks that you give out for free.
Yeah, we've brought up breadsticks so many times.
Gelato, my
I'm just
friend.
Saying. Oh, Panettone. Guido's Galindo's Gelatos.
Oh, the Triple G.
Come on, man.
Triple G. Get some gnocchi in there.
You know you can see it, right, John? Yeah. This all makes sense.
Yeah.
This all makes sense.
Yeah.
We are filling in the blank here.
Lasagna,
and I feel like
baby.
We have given you the best endeavor to pursue some type of form of capitalism, and that is opening up
Guido Galindo's Gelato.
Guido Galindo's Gelatos.